Emerson program.
Hey, can I give a shout out to somebody?
Yes, you can.
I want to say hi to Deborah from the Portland Water Bureau.
Hello,
and all
Deborah.
The other, and all the Water Bureau people. Who I saw them yesterday at a bar, and they were all very cool, and they listened.
You know, people at the Water Bureau drink all the time.
When they're off the clock, of course.
Of course. Aaron Geek in the city, Duran, weighs in. Says, Rick, my people do not drink all the time. Too busy maintaining the noble white man's yard. By his people, he means geeks. 503-733-2970. 503.
Clean white people's yards?
Yes. That's what we do in our spare time.
Oh.
Not just the white man. The noble white man. We got to clean the yards of Norse gods. It's 503-733-2970. This really does require, I think...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
We're also... Let me see if I can find some of the appropriate music to welcome. We're also joined by... wait, hold on.
You.
Joined by who?
I thought you were going to do that Yule song.
No, let's... We're welcomed by... Our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger from the
Loudest
Yule Show.
Loudest man alive.
Saturday 9 to 11. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much for the Looney Tunes-esque entry.
Well, we have a sad snuff watch coming up later on.
Oh, sad. Okay.
We'll get to that. Hi, Scotty J. How are you?
Doing great.
Scotty J., why are racial and ethnic stereotypes harmful? And you do have to go through this book, by the way, as an on-air personality here at AM 970.
They can hurt your feelings.
Whose feelings? Yours? When is the last time a racial and ethnic stereotype hurt your feelings, Scotty?
Just yesterday, Rick.
And how was that?
No,
oh, do we have music for the suburban perspective?
That's not true.
What is the whitest song ever? Speaking of, I like how I go right from... this is genius. Did you notice that I go right from the book about don't ethnically stereotype flawlessly into... What is the whitest song ever? What is the whitest song ever, though? Seriously.
Can I chime in?
Yeah.
Bing Crosby, White Christmas.
No, I mean, that's... You mean just because it's about a white Christmas? That's not what he means, Scotty. It's not an ethnic cleansing anthem. Well, what does he mean? It's the whitest song ever.
You're looking for an ethnic cleansing anthem?
No, I'm saying, why would you say White Christmas? He's not talking about
because
a Christmas
Scotty...
with white people.
The whitest song ever has got to be Ice Ice Baby.
See, I don't think so. That's a funky song and you know it. You liked it when it came out, comes on the radio now, you listen.
How about Play That Funky Music, White Boy?
See, again...
What about Raindrops on Roses?
See, that's what I'm saying. You guys are picking, like, white rap songs, which may not be very good. But, I mean, in terms of just being flat-out bleached, I mean... Play That Funky Music is a damn good song, and you know that. Same thing with Casey and the Sunshine Band.
What about some theme song for some, like, 50s TV show?
Like the Donna Reed theme? Well, that's what we use for the Encyclopedia Portlandia. Like a father knows best kind of a thing or something?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Courtship of Eddie's Father?
Yeah, well, we need some...
That's
can you play... Do you have one of the Encyclopedia Portlandia things?
That's very white.
They're in the promo tab. Yeah, A Portlandia. We're not going to take a break here, but we're just going to play a little bit. This is the Donna Reed. Go ahead.
AM 970 presents the Encyclopedia Portlandia.
Yeah. I think that's good.
No, but...
It was completed
right here.
In 1914.
This is the Donna Reed.
By Henry and Georgiana Pittick, the family who took ownership...
We need something like that.
1960.
All right, so that's... Everybody look for that. We're looking for the whitest song ever for the suburban perspective.
Now, what are you... Are you thumbing through the ethics quiz that I've already taken as a employee of the wonderful CBS family, or is this a secondary quiz that I have not been?
This is a secondary. Oh, I guess I should have you guys take this, though, because you're doing a program on the airwaves.
Scotty
had not occurred to me to have you do it.
I took one.
Did you take this one? Did you read this blue book?
Words
That Hurt and Harm.
I believe I did, because
a
I had their
for on-air talent and programming personnel, how to develop greater awareness of and learn to avoid the use of racial and ethnic stereotypes and slurs.
Well, I believe I did take that because I had to give a copy to HR and sign it, actually.
Are you just talking about the one swearing that you won't engage in payola?
No, I did that one, too. I did one. I did that. I did the one that if I won't play grab ass with the girls in the office.
Dennis, they're called chicks now.
Oh, I will play grab ass with the
See, that's ironic.
With the girls or chicks? What do I say?
Skirts.
Skirts, okay. Whether it's a boy or a girl.
I won't go copping the field on no dames who happen to walk my way while I'm going to my jalopy to go play some chin music on some no good, no account, no good Nick.
I didn't get that question.
This is not the grab ass manual. Yes?
I'm trying to find some songs, but I can't audition any of them.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for some music.
Yeah.
It's called A Port Open.
Yeah, that's just the opening. It's not the donut.
Okay.
This is the open.
Well, that's A Port Open. That sounds like a wrong answer from the exact quiz that we're
port
taking.
Open. That guy is waiting for me. All port open.
Wait, so this actually has the music on it then, right?
Yeah, just the... Well, let's see. How long is it?
A minute and 4 seconds.
Okay, yeah. So it's probably that, and then it's everything with the close. It's probably not a donut. A donut is a radio term for the open and close with a music bed in the middle. Let's welcome now Scotty J. for the Suburban Perspective. Hello, Scotty.
How's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good.
Scotty, when was the last time you were the victim of racial or ethnic stereotyping?
I don't think I ever have, to be honest with you.
Really?
I do know what a stereotype is, though.
Why? What is a stereotype and why is it bad?
A stereotype is the guy who plays the same songs over and over at a wedding, YMCA, stuff like that. Right?
What?
I don't even understand.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Okay. I don't know.
Let's try again. What is a racial or ethnic stereotype?
Well, that...
Seriously, don't be the one guy in the station who can't pass this booklet, because then I'm going to get yelled at about it. Now, they're going to say, what is with this guy, Scotty?
Stereotyping, that's like saying you're the typical this or that, right? And you're... Let's say you're of different color.
Me, personally?
Yeah.
I'd be taller. depending on what color we're talking about, I guess.
Right. And so that would be saying that you know, stereotyping would be saying that all you're good for is picking up garbage or something like that. You know, that's kind of an example.
Now, what color makes you think of that, Scotty?
White.
Good save. Good save, Scotty.
Because that's what I do.
Why are these... Oh, now listen to the bitterness. Why are stereotypes harmful? The answer, Scotty, since you apparently can't conceive of why a stereotype is bad.
I have to think of it.
Okay. Well, listen, Whitey, stereotypes are bad because once they exist in your mind, they affect your thinking as to all members of that group. Perhaps you think you know, Scotty, people who are lazy, deceitful, promiscuous, or criminal. The problem is what you think might be true for an individual is absolutely not true for an entire race or ethnic group. Do you understand that?
Should we do some word association?
I now understand it.
Yes. Scotty?
So if one guy's lazy, the whole group isn't.
Scotty, it's as if... See, Paris Hilton is promiscuous. Why? Because she doesn't wear panties.
No, I would disagree.
Oh, she's been celibate for 7 months. All right. Scotty, according to the manual...
Okay.
Is it or is it not?
I haven't read this yet, so
I
this
know.
Is unfair.
It's... No, I'm not making stuff up. All I'm doing is reading stuff to you that you will have to... I am not quizzing you on things that...
Oh, okay.
I'm reading right out of here. This is the same thing you have to do. All right, let me ask you this. Is it or is it not harmful to say something, for example, Asian Americans are excellent at science?
Is that harmful in my mind?
Yes.
I think that's a compliment, but it could be construed as harmful.
Now, how could that be construed as harmful?
Because you are saying that, A, only Asians are smart at science, right? That's right. That's part of it.
I'm going to read you the exact statement. The exact statement is, Asian Americans are excellent at science. Now, is that or is that not a harmful statement?
It can be harmful because you're saying, A, that's all they know is science, number one, right?
There's no answer.
There's a million different ways it can be construed. The word it is.
There aren't any answers.
It's your answer kind of reveals the thing. That's the deal.
Uh-oh.
See, it's very interesting because you are reading into the question. Does anybody else hear what Scotty is reading into the question? That when I say Asian Americans are excellent in science, Scotty has construed that to mean that other ethnic groups are good at science.
It can also mean It can also mean a compliment though that Asians are good at science.
Okay. How about the following statement? Is this statement potentially harmful or not? Page 3. Jews are great doctors.
Again, this is stereotyping stuff. This is a great example of saying stereotyping sentences.
If someone said this in the office, what would do you believe that would be an appropriate statement to make at the office?
No. You need to say everybody would make a great doctor. Including me.
That's like when you lie to your idiot kid, not yours. That's like when you lie to your kid and go, no, you too could be president. Just you ever see those motivational counselors that come to those bombed out schools and just like, yeah, you can achieve anything.
As long as you're under the desk. Bomb shelter? That's where that came in. So.
You're reading Dennis's grab-ass manual again. All right, Scotty. Stereotypes are easy to fall back on, but are inaccurate and harmful. All of us have built-in biases, Scotty. What are yours? Complete the following sentences, Scotty. All male hairdressers are blank.
See, this is a Fargan trick question.
What's a Fargan?
I'm sorry, was that some wacky profanity substitution?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Don't say that. Complete the following sentences, Scotty. All male hairdressers are...
polite.
See, that's exactly what I would have said. Polite. It is true. They're almost all polite. The female ones are usually very bitchy. Not always, but often. I find female hairdressers, especially when you point out that they're using the wrong goddamn setting. When you ask for a 4,
right.
And they're using a 2.
I've had many a female hairdresser, and, like, they comb your head too hard, you know? Whereas the male guy might, he understands. You don't want to scrape the scalp, you know?
Can I have a copy of this to make sounders, please? Please? Anyone?
Okay. Are we all learning? Scotty, waiters in Chinese restaurants are blank. First thing that comes to mind.
Okay, waiters in Chinese restaurants are... busy.
That's not even a good lie. I swear to God, I thought you were going to say Chinese. That was I thought your answer was going to be waiters in Chinese restaurants are Chinese. All right.
How many bad things went through your head before you got to
it? That's a good question. Dennis, not a question of bad. How many unacceptable answers in your head did you rifle through before you came up with busy?
You had at least 20 absolute racial.
I can see the Rolodex in your head working.
It should be that way.
Liars go to hell.
Give him a
okay,
time
next
limit.
Question.
Seriously, you have a 3-second time limit from now on.
No, let's give him 5.
Yeah, 5.
He drinks a lot, so he must be blank.
See, you want to just say alcoholic right there.
Okay, no, that's a fair statement.
Or thirsty.
Or Scotty.
Ooh, that's good thirsty.
he must be thirsty.
He must be thirsty.
Unhappily married.
That's not true.
I wasn't talking about...
Okay.
Wow.
I was totally not even talking about
you. 1 minute you're talking about Scotty and drinking and then unhappily married. Okay, where did that come from?
This doesn't say Scotty drinks a lot, so he must be. Somebody just projected himself
to say that.
You could hear the yellow pages that the J household opened to A right there, and it wasn't for automotive, it was for attorney.
My wife is taking half my jewels.
Love you, honey.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice save.
But you just projected yourself right into that sentence.
No, you trapped him in.
Scotty
that.
J drinks a lot, so he must be unhappily married.
It's like a bobcat trap. I mean, or a Venus flytrap, rather. That's Rick Emerson.
A Venus flytrap.
Yeah.
Why would you say Venus flytrap?
Because you're like, come here.
Do you feel you're trapped in a Venus? Or do you feel you're caught in a Venus flytrap?
I feel like I've been Venused by Rick Emerson.
Okay. Scotty, NFL football players are known to be...
rough.
Very good. Finally.
That was hard, though.
Scotty J.
Pull that one out.
Jewish mothers are typically blank.
You know, I can't really say I know any. So I would imagine comforting.
You don't know any Jewish people or any Jewish mothers?
I don't think I know any Jewish mothers I could name or
see,
that
Scotty,
I know.
I don't wish to unnerve you.
Okay.
But I mean, have you ever thought that you might work with Jewish mothers and not even realize it?
Never asked, never cared. Don't tell.
It's
the Clinton thing. That he did something right there. Don't ask, don't tell, right?
God almighty. It is sometimes hard to believe that we are members of the same species. It really is. Okay. I'll just put down comforting.
Yeah, that's good.
Jewish mothers are typically comforting.
That's a great answer.
Association part on that?
I'd get an A if I put that on there. Comfort. That's great.
Scotty, have these thoughts ever popped into your head?
Oh,
no. This is what you can do to become part of the solution, Scotty. Racial stereotyping, I'm going to put these calls on hold. If you're calling in, I'm putting these on hold. Racial and ethnic stereotypes are major problems. It may seem frustrating as an individual to try to solve these. Scotty, Have these thoughts ever popped into your head?
No.
You don't even know what I'm about to say.
They might be good thoughts.
Oh. I was going to say, minorities are just as good as the white man. No, says Scotty J. Scotty J, yeah, resounding negatory.
Insert no to every answer. Yeah, right.
Scotty, have you ever thought the following, or perhaps said the following on this program? Quote, just what do these people want anyway? End quote.
Yeah, on the telephone, when the phones are ringing, I'm thinking, just what do these people want?
What are these sons of bitches? Why are you calling? Angry minorities make me feel defenseless and confused.
You know what? That question is funny. It's so ridiculous. No, I have not thought that.
You have never thought that?
No, not at all.
Angry minorities don't ever make you feel angry.
No.
Scotty?
No.
He said no.
I don't even think of people as a minority.
Oh, don't lie.
Are.
Don't.
I honestly don't.
Okay.
Scotty has love enough, room enough in his heart for, to love all minorities.
He views all many.
I love all the listeners.
Have you ever felt this? Other ethnic groups had to struggle. Why is it so different for this group? Insert blank.
Yeah, and I inserted my group.
Which group is this that's had to struggle?
No, I have not had that problem.
You don't ever think that?
No.
Okay. Scotty, do you feel persecuted as a straight white man? do you feel that life
no,
is hard
for you? No, but I do think
you?
It would be funny if as a straight white man, I went on a persecuted kick, because then it would...
A kick. If you were to pretend, for example.
Exactly.
Like when you were pretending that day that the Boy Scouts were filling your boy full of feminist claptrap.
That was a hard day.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Has that caused trouble at home?
No, it's just... You know, it still infuriates me a little bit, and I would like to see some more fathers step up is all.
So, meaning you stepped up?
I have stepped up.
Are you currently, are you currently a scoutmaster?
I'm not a master or anything like that, but I went to this...
You drove by the building and wave. I flicked by their website on my way to look for Asian porn.
I actually went to this bicycle clinic-like thing, you know, with my son and the Boy Scouts one day. And I showed up to two of the major month meetings. That's where all the troops get together. But I feel like I've gone, you know,
so
out
you're
of
going
above
way
and beyond.
Above and beyond.
So you've given 2 hours of your life. Congratulations. Congratulations. Your boy's going to turn out just fine. What was I thinking? All right. We should thank you, Scotty.
Okay, thanks.
I'll give this to you to read all the way through.
Scotty did good.
He did well. Yes.
He did good.
All right. Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
This is Chris.
Hi, Chris. How can I help you, sir?
Just calling to weigh in and let you guys know that, you know, Scotty J and I went out drinking, so he has drank with people of, you know, other ethnicities.
It would really unnerve him if he knew that, though. We want to break that news to him carefully, probably.
Well, probably. You know, let him know that, you know, yes, I am of another color.
Seems like he, you know, really, like at about two...
He might usually be in costume and he doesn't know.
I was going to say... Seriously, and usually, let's be honest, when you're drinking with Scotty, it's usually at 2 in the morning, and it's usually in a very dimly lit bar in an isolated corner.
Well,
so
I could always smile.
No, it's true. No. It was Chris who said that, by the way. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. It's Chris. We should take a break. Dennis Pitzenbarger.
I wonder if Scotty's kid looks at him and goes, Daddy, do we have the same last name?
Moving forward... Has Dennis Pitzenbarger gone too far? We'll come back. We'll do some headlines with Tim Riley. We'll talk to Dennis Pitzenbarger from The Fuel Show. Stay there. All right, we now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Yeah, reload this. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pay a final visit to the president, prophet, seer, and revelator of our program, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, so everyone's all excited about St. Helens today, but there's nothing to be excited about. It was not a threat, it was a treat. A steam plume visible from the volcano today is not a sign of an eruption. Tom Pierce with the Cascade Volcano Observatory says on a clear day like today, you can see steam coming out of the mountain.
The water vapor, the steam that's always coming out of the vent along with the slowly extruding magma to condense in that cold air and becomes much more visible to everybody around the mountain.
Extruding really is an unpleasant word.
Yes, the steam is normal and the eruption is still going on.
If anything, we're experiencing a very progressive slowdown in the rate at which the lava is coming out. But it still is coming out at a steady, slowly decreasing rate over many months.
Okay. Yes, it is a steam plume, and nothing
it's
to be excited about.
It's been going on ever since 2004.
Dallas volcano story ever.
And we, as I say, we just are experiencing a very slight decrease in the rate at which it's coming out.
It really was much more interesting when we were just watching the thing on K2 and speculating about what might be going on with the volcano.
Well, at least he's on the mountain sitting inside and not trying to climb it.
It's true. Man's got to know his limitations.
President Bush is busy celebrating Hanukkah at the White House today. He told children the story about how Hanukkah came to be and how the menorah is still a symbol today.
That miraculous light brought hope. And today, by lighting the menorah, Jews around the world celebrate the victory of light over darkness and give thanks for the presence of a just and loving God.
He said the White House respects all faiths.
Laura and I are honored to have this Hanukkah menorah here at the White House. It's
I don't
a symbol
really
the
know
White
what
House
it is.
People's house, and it belongs to Americans of all faiths.
It's a pretty thing hanging in the window.
Did he really just say it's
Laura
the
and I
people's?
I'm honored to have this Hanukkah menorah here at the White House. It's a symbol that the White House is the people's house, and it belongs to Americans of all faiths.
It sounds stopping today.
Stop by, won't you? Hang out,
have a cookie.
All right.
Time for a snuff watch.
Here's your very sad snuff watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
Joe Barbera and Bill Hanna were hired within a month of each other in 1937 by the MGM Cartoon Factory. They soon hit on the idea of a cat named Tom and a mouse named Jerry. Well, a decade since, Hanna-Barbera entertained generations of children, filling movie and television screens with animated series such as Tom and Jerry, The Flintstones, Yogi Bear, Huckleberry Hound and Friends, Top Cat, Scooby-Doo, Johnny Quest, The Jetsons, and Animal Follies.
I mean, people can say what they want about the pedestrian quality of some of those Hanna-Barbera shows, mm-hmm. but just the amount, I mean, the impact that they had on our childhoods cannot even be estimated. I mean, I can't even imagine how many hours of my life I spent watching Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even calculate it. I mean, The Jetsons and The Flintstones alone, I can't imagine how many hours I spent watching that.
Well, Mr. Barbera died yesterday of natural causes at his home with his wife, Sheila, at his side. He was 95. His longtime collaborator, Hanna, died in 2001. You probably see his name at the end of the cartoons.
Yep.
Everyone's wondering, at least I did when I was a kid, who is this woman, Hanna-Barbera? They thought they were the same person. Tom and Jerry cartoons won 7 Academy Awards, more than any other series with the same characters. Hanna-Barbera received 8 Emmy Awards, including the Governor's Award of the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. Jerry's Dance by Gene Kelly and Acres Away has become a screen classic, and Fred Flintstone's Yabba Dabba Doo and Yogi's Smarter Than the Average Bear became part of the language of America.
Now, is it true that... Now, did Yabba Dabba Doo come from Sinatra, or did Sinatra take his thing from them? Or is it just a coincidence?
A coincidence?
You know, because didn't Frank have a lot of that, you know, Scooby-Doo, Wobby-Doo?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Did he get that from Hanna-Barbera? That's such a dumb question. Or did Hanna-Barbera, because there's Yabba Dabba Doo and then there's Scooby-Doo, and did they get that from Sinatra? I don't understand the answer. I don't know the answers to these things.
I don't know the answer to this one either.
That's interesting. That's something that never occurred to me until just now. Here is a thing worth noting, though, and this is something that people don't really realize. You have to kind of think about this. That... The Flintstones and Hanna-Barbera cartoons in general are not only the first exposure most of us had to sort of sitcoms into full length, 22 minute sort of sitcom setup resolution, blah, blah, blah. Hanna-Barbera cartoons were also the first exposure that most children in America had and still have to jazz. You go back and you listen to the Jetsons. In fact, let me just play just a little bit of this here. I'm not going to go on and on about it, but let me just play just a little bit of this Jetsons theme. And imagine, if you will, it's even more obvious with the Flintstones theme, but I'm going to use the Jetsons theme because everybody's using the Flintstones theme today, probably. Listen to this and imagine. Imagine this being a Sinatra song. Imagine him singing. And this is when he's walking out on stage. And then really at the end here. Right here, there's a big Sinatra rave up at the end. Thank you. Good night.
Oh, is that big finish like the early 70s? But all the movies at that time had a big finish at the end.
Totally,
it's like that thing you do, that kind of period of music.
Exactly, yeah. Everybody sounded like the Norm Wooster singers, loving you lots and lots. Yeah.
So, Joe Hanna, Joe Barbera, I should say, is dead and he was 95 years old.
Gentlemen, greatest newsman ever. Fantastic. Thank you, sir. What is it?
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
But that trick never worked.
This time for sure.
Scotty, Hanna-Barbera didn't create Rocky and Bullwinkle. Oh, well, he types. Dennis Pitzenbarger, hello, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm sorry, you appear to have gotten the fuzzy end of the lollipop once again. Is that damn Mount St. Helens?
You know,
and that damn Scotty.
I actually thought I was really popular in the CBS building on First Avenue because about 15 people come running into my office.
That's not true.
No, it's because my window faces that way.
Yeah. We thought we were really popular in this building for a while. That's not true.
That's okay.
No.
They
don't even look at us.
We wanted to talk a little bit about car guy gifts or...
Yeah.
I mean, we don't really have a lot of time. We are going to do that this weekend on the show, on the Fuel Show, 9 to 11 on this very station, on the Solid State Radio.
AM 970, this weekend, 9 to 11, the Fuel Show with F. Matt and Ian Gordon, et cetera, et cetera. So this, okay, so for quickly, if somebody out there, and you know, I hate to stereotype, but if there's somebody out there, you know, like a woman or whatever, doesn't know what to get, you know, if you got a husband or a boyfriend, somebody's in the car stuff, like, I wouldn't even know. I would have no idea because here's the thing is because all the stuff that I would want, I already have. Like, I got the GPS, you know, and I got, here's the thing I do need. I do need a thing to get Lara's iPod, to where it, like, goes into the car. And that's, I mean, there's a billion of those things out there, but it's like,
there's a lot of little stuff like that. I think the TomToms and the Jarvan, all those navigation systems are really popular this year because they finally become... Not only user-friendly, because a lot of them were just a little too over... They had too many buttons. I mean, people looked at them, they were a little intimidated. Car guys tend to be a little technical. Their geekhood is that, you know, they have at least one 20-sided dice in their pocket at all times. But things like that, there's going to be a lot of little things that we're going to talk about. Things like nostalgia items. I think that, you know, I was showing you stuff like this, like these old school... If you can find any kind of relic or, I guess you'd call it... history piece,
like a retro item,
some sort of retro gas pump, or you know what else is really good for car guys is, you know, I have a great set of tools as far as, you know what I mean by that, don't stereotype me,
sorry.
You know what I'm saying is, you know, I have a whole workbench with tools, right. Car guy stuff, I work on stuff. The idea that you can go to like a Sears even and buy for $50 to $100 a really nice little usable Craftsman tool set that you can have somebody put in the back of their car if, for you know, something happens, they're out in the middle of nowhere, they need one little tiny wrench that could make them get nuts, you know, so they won't end up in the middle of the snow
on
Mount Hood.
I was going to ask, and actually that sort of ties into something else. We've been talking about the James Kim thing and about the Mount Hood guys thing. Here, and I never see Scotty tell me, do you mean like James Kim? All caps.
Why would he get lost, Scotty?
Let it go. Let it... What do you mean? What are you implying, Dennis?
I'm not.
Let it go, Scotty. But it is a fair question, actually, because you always they do these stories every year, and they always say, like, here's some things you should have in your trunk whenever you go out on the snow. And I never know what that list of crap actually is. Like, they always, like, you should always have a flare, and you should always have a whatever, but I never know whether any of that crap is true or not. I mean, if I was going to look at your trunk right now, apart from the numerous dead cheerleaders, what would I find?
Not much, because it's a car that I don't own. But if you looked in the car...
Screw it. Screw it!
The reality is, if you go into those type of conditions, you should have a shovel and flares, and you know they make those little pocket heaters that once it's like a glow stick, you
those
snap them.
Those things are cool, man. Those hand warmers.
Hand warmers. Stick those in your shoes. Keep your whole body warm. I mean, there's all these little things. Like I told you about when I went up in the forest driving that Jeep with my wife and my daughter, and I mean, I had a 1 year old in the back of this car out in the middle of nowhere. And the reason why I had shovels and flares and gas and hiking boots and snowshoes and all these things is because you have to just be prepared. And those little items like that really aren't that expensive, and you can buy them for anybody. You don't even have to be a car guy to buy something like an emergency kit for someone's car in today's market. I mean, it's not like the 9/11 thing where, you know, 9/11 happened and everybody started cashing in on emergency kits. You know, like all of a sudden you were talking about, you know, grandpa and grandma started hoarding, you know, like
the Y2K
thing.
Oh,
yeah. And
I need bottled water by the gross.
Yeah, cotton balls and bars of soap by the, you know, the tonnage. And you don't really need that stuff. What you need to do is just buy a basic kit of stuff that if you just think through some situations, you'll be okay.
And locators for everyone.
And carry
a locator if you're going to the top of a snow-covered hill.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't mean to walk over and kick that horse one more time, but I guarantee I was going to chime in on it. Those are the rednecks out there. Being someone who was born in Eastern Oregon, and though I have washed most of the red off of my neck, those are the guys that go out with, you know, basically they went to the hawk shop, and they bought every old lock that they have, keys or not, combination, don't need it, and they went out into the forest to shoot guns and lock up gates.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that was what led to his death, though tragic. It is those kind of prankster-type things that you're going to get from that genre of people.
Excellent. Let's get Alex. Good summation, Dennis.
Thank you.
Let's get Alex. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, I was going to call about the whitest music there is.
Oh, yeah. We'll probably do more on this tomorrow, but we can get a head start on it here because for the suburban perspective, which is the segment where Scotty J weighs in with his thoughts and observations, what is the whitest music ever, sir?
Oh, I was just going to say, I work at a music store, and there's a guy that always listens to Christopher Cross, Sailing.
Yeah,
let me tell you something. That song will never be sung by a black guy unless it's Carlton from the Fresh Prince.
Well done. In 2006, really, a guy is still listening to Christopher Cross?
Indeed. He thinks he's a genius, man. Boy, I'm killing
Christopher Cross, and he's the ugliest bastard.
Oh, you said it many times. He's a person whose career got
MTV.
Killed by video.
MTV. Yeah, it destroyed him. Although I heard some song sample Sailing by Christopher Cross a couple years ago. I don't remember who it was. But somebody sampled that song. And I don't know if there are a lot of people out there demanding for to hear more Christopher Cross. And this, of course, is a white man listening to this
right.
Music. Yeah, of course. Right. All right. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, see ya.
Somehow I just can't see you in your living room doing the Running Man, listening to Christopher Cross.
No.
So if I could, that would be the all-time best piece of video ever.
Oh, God.
You in like an AC/DC shirt, just your underwear, a la Risky Business, doing the Running Man, listening to Christopher Cross.
We'll have to do more about that tomorrow. But we are going to try to determine the whatever, because there's got to be the suburban perspective, I believe, is becoming the new How Chicks Think. To call it a hunch. It's a little theory that I have here. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Is the person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
Hey, buddy. I got you back on this one. Your segment with Scotty J.
Yeah.
You're going to be doing it in the afternoon, right?
Yes.
So the whitest song ever, you could just have a little afternoon delight with Scotty J.
That is a pretty white song. Although the thing is, the problem with that song is now I either think of Anchorman or I think of Arrested Development.
Yeah. I'm getting a lot of feedback here. Oh, there we go. You did not do the Dead Parade.
Oh, yeah. I didn't do the Dead Parade. I'll do that tomorrow.
Or you didn't go really into much about your vacation for next week.
Well, I mean, it's just that we're going to be taking one, and we'll be somewhere else, and, you know, our voices will still be here.
And what's on your TiVo?
Oh, yeah, I suck. So this brings me up to what, three?
That puts you at three.
Three, excellent.
But Dennis is there. You did finally discuss the hairdresser punchline setup. You talked with Lisa, and you talked about Brian Blank, and, of course, the sad passing.
Excellent. All right, thank you, sir.
Talk to you tomorrow.
There's a mailman, Chris.
I just thought of the perfect gifts for you and Tim and Sarah.
Okay.
While you're on vacation, someone has got to
change the format.
No. Don't make me go through that again. No, cardboard cutouts of all three of you to sit in this room while you do.
Or I thought you meant to, like, go out and meet people. People come by to meet us.
And then all you do is you hire, like, a homeless guy to sit in here with, like, the ropes and like,
move
the pulleys.
Around.
Like, all at home.
All alone.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, speaking of which, somebody sent me this. Do you remember the song Cars That Go Boom?
Oh, absolutely.
See? You, that's so
we
great.
We are the girls. The girls. You know, I totally know the whole,
Sarah was noting that Fergalicious is a knockoff of Supersonic.
My friend Heather noticed that yesterday.
All right. Heather, who does know her history, she said that Fergalicious is knockoff of Supersonic, and then Todd the Corpse concurred. And Todd the Corpse, I think, noted that it is also, in turn, a ripoff of Cars That Go Boom by Bunny and Tiga? Tigra. Okay, I was right. It's Tigra.
I remember that entire era of, like, mini trucks with the tops chopped off of them.
Oh, yeah.
Really bad, like, eight-ball leather jackets.
Yeah, totally.
Lots and lots of polo.
I remember a lot of glaring white trucks with a splash of, like, turquoise blue around the tailgate.
Oh, yeah, or maybe the seismic meter.
Let's see if we have this here. Is my computer up, sir?
Yes.
Let's see if we can play a little. This is Cars That Go Boom.
I haven't heard this for so long.
Well, let's hope it plays here now that I've teased it. But this, he sent this to me, and this is from the Bunny and Tigra MySpace page.
What era or exactly? I mean, I know what era it is. What exact year is that? Does it say?
I think Cars That Go Boom is like 86. I might be wrong about that.
I want to say it's a little bit later than that. For some reason, I remember. Well, it could be 86, like 87, 88, because.
I think
that would have put me in my El Camino cruising 82nd with my lawn chairs in the back as I did 8 miles an hour and burned $40 in gas chasing girls that never talked to me.
Fantastic. I was right there with you, by the way.
So many kinds, where can we start?
We like them dumb and we like them.
Oh,
is it buffering?
Kinds, where can we start?
We like them dumb and we like them smart.
I like the ones with the pretty eyes.
Well, I like all kinds of guys.
Stop. What happened?
How about the ones we especially like?
Which ones?
You know, the ones with the cars that go.
I hear you.
Hit it.
The 80s suck. With that one orchestra hit that every hip-hop artist used. Oh, and there's that one little, like, it's like you're hitting the side of the snare.
There's a posse. We were cruising in the Jag or the Lamborghini. When lo and behold, there appeared a mirage. He was hooking up a car in his daddy's garage. We stopped short, did a double take. He was looking so fly, I thought I wasn't awake. He was obviously hooking up face, I assumed. But then he turned the little button and the car went boom. They like the car.
Oh, that's,
Can't you just see it, though, like some sort of, like,
right on the hook,
Clive Barker, like, big cigar-smoking guy in, like, 1985 going, I know, I'm going to make my next $10 million.
Of what you've heard so far, Sarah, does this sound at all like the Fergalicious song?
I think it does.
Kind of, yeah.
No. This sucks. Now I have to go all the way back.
Where can we?
Oh, I've lost it. I'll have to download it and play it tomorrow so you can hear, like, the actual.
Yeah, it does have that, like, little girl.
They were, like, 15. I mean, Bunny and Tigra, and how sad that I knew their names. Bunny and Tigra, and by the way,
every time you say, like, keep thinking of La Tigra, I'm like, not them.
This is from the definitive Bunny and Tigra fan page. By the way, I got this.
Yo, this is for all the boys out there, as sweet as candy.
Different song. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
That was the same hook.
Same thing. Well, and God, they had that 80s rapping that anybody could do where I'm talking this way to fill out the meter. Blah, la, na, na.
My name is Peter.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. That's totally. And everybody. It wasn't until like KRS-One and I sound so old that they started to do like some sort of the metering, you know, the cadence that was different than that. We'll play Cars That Go Boom tomorrow. All right, Dennis Pitsenbarger, him, the Fuel Show, Saturdays 9 to 11 right here on this very fine radio station. Hey, what do you think? Yes?
Sorry, I was going to say, what are you doing 9 p.m. tomorrow?
I don't know.
Okay.
Anywho, we want to thank CNN radio correspondents Lisa Goddard and Ed McCarthy and so forth. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day with all the talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Scotty J is our PA. Tim Riley is our news god. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. As always, don't let the bastards grin. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.